Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, with a standing ovation, please receive with me Reverend Julian Kula.
Gonna teach you a Swahili song. It's very simple. It means thank you. Twa sema asante. Twa sema asante. Twa sema asante. That's it. Twa sema sante. Twa sema sante. Twa sema sante. Ewemungu. Nigeria, help me sing it tonight. Twa sema. Give you glory and honor. Give you worship tonight. Worthy of praise and glory and honor. And I think of all the things that you have done. I have nothing else I can do but to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy of praise, worthy of glory, worthy of honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank God for my dear friend, and not a friend I take for granted. I want to give God glory for a man that God is using in our time and in our generation to do what has been in the heart of God for a long time for this continent, to Apostle Selman. I want to thank you and say thank you for allowing God to use you for our generation. Come on, please, let me appreciate Apostle Selman tonight. If that's how you appreciate him, I'm going to Kenya with him. Amen. And to the whole Koinonia family, God bless you. To Papa tonight that is still here with us, I say thank you, Papa. Thank you for being here from the beginning until now. To Dr. David of Burley, thank you. God bless you, sir. To my friend, Apostle Felix Okor, I'm so happy to see you and your lovely wife, Ms. Bulelewa. Thank you so much. May God continue to bless you. To my ambassador from Kenya, Ambassador Isaac, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, sir. To every servant of God present, Mayor, thank you so much once again. God bless you. Let me go into the Word of God, do my part, and allow God to do what He wants to do here tonight. Are you ready? John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, use me tonight in whichever way you desire. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. The mandate was made clear. Once again, if we use reference to that to help us understand which way to drive this conversation that the Holy Spirit would give us, we have 5 mandates for every believer that is in Christ. The first mandate is for souls. The second mandate is for fruitfulness. And then there's a mandate to bring the body of Christ to a point of maturity and stature. And then there's a mandate to transform societies and nations to be the light and the salt. And finally, the mandate to walk in love. This gives us an understanding that the character of God, if we walk in love, the character of God is judged by the way believers live out their lives. For this we spoke this morning and agreed that we must have shepherds after God's own heart. And that's according to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, who will give to the people knowledge and understanding. Tonight, let me delve a little bit now into this Nehemiah understanding, into this Nehemiah dimension and grace. And I believe that God will be glorified in our midst. He said to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Tend to my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." If I had time, I would delve into that and show you that those are 3 different levels of delivery and understanding as far as the mandate is concerned. But let me deal a little bit more on the mind of God on a matter that we dealt with this morning from Isaiah chapter 11, from verse 1 to 2. It is impossible to deal with the mandate and with this general assembly without looking at this rod from the stem of Jesse and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. And that branch shall have with it the fear of the Lord in verse 2. From there you shall have the spirit of the Lord that shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the 7 expressions of the Holy Spirit. This is the mind of God on a matter. Let me explain that. When God looks at man through the pattern and the eyes of Jesus, this is the expression by the help of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us this understanding and gives us this knowledge. This knowledge and understanding is the heart of the matter that brings out a king-priest understanding and a king-priest dimension. The word church is the word ecclesia. The revelation of the church came upon in the book of Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13 to 19 when Jesus asked, "Who do men say I am?" Some say. And then he asked them, the disciples, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus, amazed at this revelation, comes and says that, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he said that, upon this revelation, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I teach a series called The Mystery of the Church. This is the first appearance of this word church in the Bible. And this is when now we begin to understand exactly how the government shall be upon his shoulders. And I will build my ecclesia. The church is a governmental term. It's a governmental term. So I want to just spend a few minutes and then I'll come back here. So let's put a pause on that and be able to come back here in a minute. Because I want to deal with Nehemiah tonight, and I mentioned that we shall have some time in prayer, I want to be diligent to that time in prayer to release the Nehemiah anointing. To rebuild, every king priest must understand that there are what we call building blocks. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1, and then I'll come back to this Isaiah 11 verse 1 piece. Nehemiah chapter 1. Words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel. Could you jump to verse 4 for the sake of time? So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. I'm going to break this into two sections. Number one, understand, Nehemiah sat down and wept. Every king priest and every person that begins to understand how to rebuild must have a time of sitting down. Must have a time of sitting down. He sat down. He sat down to think. He sat down to plan. He sat down to strategize. Number two is found again there as we continue. The Bible says that he mourned for many days and he was fasting and praying. Number two, that you need, every believer that is under this king priest anointing must be able to come into a time of prayer. Must be able to come into a time of prayer and spiritual preparation. So Nehemiah gets the news. He sits down. He sits down to count whether he has enough to finish what he's about to start. The Bible says that he also prays. Don't begin anything before you've received the instruction. Glory be to God. Don't do anything until you've received the instruction. Then we jump a little bit further now and come into Nehemiah chapter 2. And we start from verse 1. After Nehemiah has sat down, after Nehemiah has wept and considered, after Nehemiah has prayed, Bible says, now it came to pass in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took wine and gave it to the king. And now I had never been in his presence sad before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. Let me begin here now and dig a little bit deeper. So I became dreadfully afraid. And then he responded to the king. And the words he said is, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Why should I not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burnt with fire? What was he doing? My first prayer here tonight is what I'm about to say. He had learned the language of the king. Any person that is going to be beneficial to this generation must understand the language of the king. Nehemiah could have come and spoken his passion and spoken what he wanted, but he transferred his language to the Phoenician understanding of what they had reverence for. He changed his language and made it the language of the king and dealt with the reverence that they had for ancestral lands and ancestral places. Please listen. The Phoenicians had a lot of reverence for ancestral land, but the king had already made a decree that they would never rebuild Jerusalem, that it was never supposed to be restored. So now he has to learn a new strategy so that he can be able to speak the language of the king. My prayer tonight for every king in this place is that God is going to begin giving you the words that are words for kings. You'll be surprised how words ensure that people miss moments. That people may use a word that they're not supposed to use in a place, or may not understand the protocols of palaces, or may not understand certain things and work themselves out of something because of words. Words have opened doors for people. Words have shut doors for people. Words will get you investors. Words will get investors out of your door. There are places that God must lace your tongue with the right words. The grace you must know is that there are places to keep quiet and places to speak. To God be the glory. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will give you the ability to know what to say and when to say it, and what not to say and when not to say it, so that every door that is supposed to be open in your life is not shut by your mouth. I want you to open your mouth and say, Father, may my words be laced with grace. May my words be anointed not to shut doors in my face. I was at an embassy not too long ago, and the young man next to me was being asked a question. I wished I could mentor him because I understood some things long time ago about how to speak in certain places. Listen to me. For this Nehemiah anointing that God is releasing tonight, there are doors, effectual doors of ministry that will be open to you. But I believe and I pray that you will not work yourself out of that gift with your mouth. That you will not use your mouth to discredit and remove what has taken so many years to open. That the day you enter, the words that will come out of your mouth will bring about promotion and not... Hallelujah. You will not lose your next opportunity because of what you say. You will not lose the next doors open because of your mouth. Take a minute and talk to your mouth and say, mouth, you better operate with the grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, words are so important that I believe it is one of the greatest channels through which grace travels. Even Jesus in John chapter 17 verse 8 said, Father, the words that you've given me, I've given to them. That means that for all of us here, it is possible that part of your 10-year delay has been because of something that you spoke. I believe your mouth will never bring you delay again. I believe your words will never discredit you again. I believe your words will never discredit another person again. Somebody shout aloud, amen. The next time you open your mouth, what we shall hear shall be pleasantries. The next time you open your mouth, what we hear shall be grace and direction in the name of Jesus. He was before the king and he needed to speak the language of the king. Sometimes people come to me with investment ideas and they want me to invest, or they want a friend of mine to invest, and they sit there and speak for 3 hours. Sometimes you have to understand that your passion is not the king's passion. And when you understand that, you will understand how to convert your presentations and whatever it is you're presenting to make sure that the king is understanding you better because you have understood their language. Do some research about who you're going to be standing in front of. Do some research about the kind of person you're going to be spending time with, so that when you open your mouth to speak, favor will already be there in the name of Jesus. Jump with me because of time to Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 6. So the first point I gave you is that you must sit down. Number 2, you must pray. Number 3, the language of the king must be in your mouth. Number 4, the Bible says, then the king said to me, with the queen also sitting beside him, How long will your journey be and when will you return? Listen to me. You must know the people who influence the king. If you're going to have favor, if you're going to have doors open, if you're going to walk into some of the places and appropriate what God has given you, this Nehemiah anointing requires you to understand who are the people that are sitting next to the king. The king could say yes, but his people say no. So God must give you wisdom, not just for the language of the king, but to discern the people around the king. Somewhere I want to drive this to, so just come with me. He says, the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him. The queen could have leaned to the king and said, you've already written a decree. Why are you reversing the decree? But Nehemiah was smart and had wisdom about how he opened his mouth and spoke. There was a young man, had a great opportunity in my country, a presidential opportunity. But when he got before the president, he was liked by our president, but the people around the president were suspicious. So he stood there and began to open his mouth and speak and talk and talk. And within his talk, he was able to find himself in a trap where the people looked at the king and said, aha, we told you, this man, avoid him. Listen to me. I want to state clearly that God will give you wisdom not just for the person holding what you need. Remember, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. Some of the things you need in life are in the hands of men. God must give you the wisdom to be able to grab those things without compromise and without delay. Don't allow yourself to discredit those around the king because they can cause the king to change his mind. You must research and figure out who is sitting next to a king. Anytime you need anything anywhere in the market, as God is giving us wisdom, we must know how to maneuver. Jesus says you must be wise as a serpent and you must be as what as a dove. Listen to me. When you understand that language, I've always taught about the serpent. I've taught that if you understand the language of a serpent, it is because a serpent can be in a room and you don't even know it's there. The ability to even camouflage 10 patterns of a serpent, I don't have time to go through them, but one of the patterns of the serpent, it can be in a room and you don't even know it's there. Sometimes people don't need to know you're there until the time you're supposed to be known that you're there. So God is going to give you wisdom to operate with discretion, with understanding. There are things when you're told, you have to keep them in discretion. Not everything needs to be a testimony the next day. God is giving us wisdom. Are you learning something? Number four was, you must know the people that speak to the king's ear. Number five is in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 6. He says, how long will your journey be and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me and I set him a time. Number five, you must discern the time. You must set a time. You must set a time. You must set a time. I'm getting ready to pray in a few minutes. And then in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 7. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. You must understand all the documentation that you need. Every document that you need, you must go prepared. You will not leave behind anything that you need for the next level. Number 7 is in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 8. I just want to give you 10 of them and then I'll move into something different. Number 8, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forests, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple for the city wall and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You have not because you ask not. You must know the resources that you need for the next season. You must ask God to give you an understanding of the resources that you need for the next level. Number 9 is in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 9. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. My prayer for you, number 9, is that God will give you every security that you need for the next phase of your life. Number 9, chapter 3. Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 3. Nehemiah 3. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests. They built the sheep gate. They consecrated it. They hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the 100 and consecrated it. And the tower, then the Tower of Hananel. I'm here to let you know that God will give you the people that you need for the next phase of your life. Every person that is supposed to attend to the purpose and the destiny of your life in this season will not delay in coming to you in the name of Jesus. I want to prophesy to somebody. They are coming from China. They are coming from Korea. They are coming from Germany. They are coming from America. Every person supposed to serve your vision and the things that you're supposed to do will not delay in the name of Jesus. I want you to open your mouth and say no more delay. I want you to know whoever is supposed to be here must be here now. Anything that is hindering the speed of the person that is holding your destiny, they must come now in the name of Jesus. Every resource that you need for the vision that God has given you, there shall be no more delay. The presence of God is here. Everything that you need, every resource, every letter, every assignment, every signature that you're supposed to have for this next phase of your life, in the name of Jesus, there shall be no more delay. If there's any man asleep that is holding back a signature that you need, tonight is your night in the name of Jesus. We declare things must be signed tonight. Documents must be signed tonight. Kings must be disturbed tonight. Letters must be written tonight. Assignments must be given tonight. Somebody must be disturbed tonight in the name of Jesus. If I'm talking about you, shout the loudest amen in this. And let me tell you, God is going to disturb them even if they're in another country. There's a place you have to understand that for what God wants to do in your life. I remember one time waiting for a contract for 2.5 years. 2.5 years waiting for a contract until I got on my knees and discovered that I serve a God who can disturb men for my favor. I come in the name of the Lord and declare, I don't know who is holding your things, but because of what I want to pray about in your life, we declare they cannot hold those papers any longer. The justice system shall bow to your grace and the anointing of your life. If there's any delayed land case in the name of Jesus, I come in that apostolic grace and declare no more delay. Open your mouth and say no more delay. Anything that is being held back for your promotion, we declare no more delay. In the name of Jesus, the grace is working in your life right now. There are some things that don't make sense, but God is saying there is not going to be any more delay. You need your letters, you need them now. The king is going to be pleased, and the king is going to give you everything you need tonight in the name of Jesus. I sense in my spirit some of you cannot wait until Sunday. Some things are needed this Friday. I don't know, I didn't come for everybody, but if I came for you, declare, this is my Friday in the name of Jesus. The 10th point I want to give you very quickly is that in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. This scripture messes me up. It messes me up in this way. How is it that somebody is disturbed because something in your life is going to go better. The devil is a liar. Anytime somebody arises for the welfare of the people, it is the time when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite awaken. Listen, don't you find it interesting that your victory, there are some things, let me see how to put this. There are things you're about to do, and because you're going to start doing them, there are some enemies who don't have a career until your vision begins. In other words, there are people who are sitting idle, just waiting for your vision to begin. Because Sanballat and Tobiah, they were here, but when they heard of it, they were disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Let me tell you something. Every enemy of your destiny, every enemy of your purpose, every enemy of your vision, tonight in the name of Jesus, I want you to know they will hear that you are in town. And not only will they hear that you're in town, I want you to know they cannot stop what God is about to release in your life. Nigeria, I want to hear that amen like thunder. I said they cannot stop the vision of your life. I'm talking to the ones at the back, all the way to the ones at the front. Everything that God has given you to do, I want you to declare over your life. Sanballat, you will not have the access. Sanballat, you will not have the victory. The victory has already been won by Jesus. I have the victory in Jesus' name. If I'm talking to you, shout aloud, amen. So what are we doing? Please sit down. This is what I heard in my spirit for you. I heard God say, behold, I do a new thing. He told me, my son, tell them Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19. Tell them to understand I do a new thing. Now it springs forth. He says, shall you not know it? Shall you not perceive it? Then he says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God said that I'm about to do a new thing with the generation. Now listen, in paying homage to what Pastor Poju said, we are not doing away with the old. No. What God is doing is that he's improving on it. You see, can you come with me to Joshua chapter 4 verse 14? Bible says, and God made Joshua great. He exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. They feared him as they had feared Moses. Listen to me. Joshua's advancement is always on the shoulders of Moses. Joshua's advancement is always on the shoulders of Moses. So in understanding that he's doing a new thing, he's not discarding with Moses. No. The victory we shall enjoy shall be because of what Moses has done in obedience. So we are not in the business of discarding our fathers. And we are not in the business of putting fathers down. We're in the business of appreciating God that we can have an atmosphere like this because of the battles, both public and private, that the fathers and the mothers of faith have already fought. Are we together? The Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. God said, tell them that they're going to model this new thing. You're going to become a model of what God wants to do. This genre of king priests is coming out with a God agenda that has not been seen in the church before. I want to let you know what you're about to do has never been witnessed before. He said, I will build my church. He said, I will build my church. Grace is coming to you. Listen. Mary said, how shall this thing be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And so when you understand how this thing shall be, I want you to understand that grace requires structure in order to manifest. So grace must have a vessel in order to manifest. The angel came to Mary, and it is like they were having a negotiation. And they kept talking to one another. The angel kept talking to Mary. Mary kept talking to the angel. The angel would respond. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the higher shall overshadow you. And she keeps talking. But the angel could not leave. He could not leave because this word had to land in a vessel. Who is the structure? Mary was the structure. Let me show you another one. The prophet comes and the woman says that we don't have anything. My sons are about to be sold as slaves because your servant, the prophet, died and left us in debt. And the Bible records that the prophet spoke to her, I'm paraphrasing because of time, and said that go get vessels and not a few. Because what I'm about to do, I cannot have grace suspended in the air. Grace must find structure. I'm here in Nigeria to let you know you're the structure that grace has been looking for. I'm here to let you know, Koinonia family, that you're the structure that grace has been looking for. Grace must have a structure to land in order for us to begin to see what has not been seen before. Grace must have structure. Grace must have a vessel. God said, I have sought for a man that I could send. I found nobody. Ezekiel 22:30. But I'm so glad in 2025, this November at Koinonia, God is going to find a man that he can send. God is going to find a woman that he can send. He says, behold, I do a new thing. Listen to me. What you're going back to do in your country has not been seen before. Oh, Lord, help me. The reason the angel had to convince Mary is because the word could not go back void. It had to accomplish what it was sent out to do. And so the prophet said, go and borrow, 2 Kings 4:3. And don't borrow a few. Why? Because what I'm about to do for you, I need vessels to be available. Tonight as we pray this Nehemiah grace that's coming upon you, I pray that you will have your availability for God to use you for a generation. Structure. Tonight, God is looking for vessels to do what he wants to do in this new season. Lord, as you release this new model, remember your children. What does the picture look like? Give me a few minutes, then we pray. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. What is righteousness? It's the ability to stand before the Father God without any sense of guilt or inferiority. He says, repent, change your way of doing things, because God's way of doing things is here. He says, change your way of doing things. That means repent. Why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen to me. Jesus went to the synagogue teaching, preaching the good news of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23. And the Bible says that he was preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing. Look at that. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Can I tell you something? Healing was not the message. He says he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of diseases. Unfortunately, in this church season, we have converted healing to be the message. But healing is bread for the children. That means you and I are supposed to walk in perpetual healing. But the gospel is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. As a byproduct of that, there will be healings. There will be all kinds of diseases that will lift off of the people. But what must be consistent is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Let me see if I'll have time for that. Come with me to Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. He says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. He didn't come into town to preach healing. He didn't come into town to preach faith. He didn't even come to town to preach a new thing. No. He came into town to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In that gospel, everything is encompassed in there. It is the full counsel of God that he was preaching to the people. So healing came, but healing was not the message. The message was the kingdom. Listen to me carefully. What I'm seeing in South Africa, in East Africa, in West Africa, is that there's a coming together, a uniting of the body of Christ that is going to become a message of what the kingdom of God is when it begins to become united. The force that we're going to become cannot be ignored on the earth. And righteousness, which shall come from the children of the kingdom, will enable us to understand certain things. There are some questions we must ask ourselves, O Africa. There are some questions we must ask. How is it that the wealthiest continent on the earth still has, and the most evangelized continent on the earth still has, the highest child infant mortality rates? How is it that the continent with the largest number of churches on a per capita basis still has the highest death rates for male adults? How is it that across the entire world, the highest poverty levels are in the most evangelized continent? I'll tell you what. It's because we have seen an aspect of power, but we have not yet come into the full counsel and an understanding of the wisdom that comes with power. But God is merciful. That a time has come, a time has come and a season has arrived when the children of God are going to begin to arise and they are going to begin to release the righteousness of Christ Jesus on the continent. Why? Because God is about to trust you with his resources. The king is saying, I'm getting ready to release my resources on the people so that my goodness and my glory can be seen on the earth. Jesus knew that there was a need for healing, and healing shall continue. But I put it to you, there's a new breed that's rising up. And this breed is calibrating the things of God into society. This breed of people is going to begin to deal with poverty at every level. It's going to begin to deal with research. The Nehemiah grace that is coming upon you is about to come as a building grace. Karebos katala da barados. Is about to release over your children a grace where they will not struggle your struggles anymore. None of you shall postpone your struggles to your children in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray in a few minutes. I want to show you something that's very important for you to understand. What is this new way? It means that when you begin to build, you don't just build for yourself. Many years ago, God gave me a vision. And when that vision came to pass, when that vision began to happen, I'm beginning to see things happening now that I'm not struggling with anymore. But there's a time it was according to my strength. But God says in this next phase, it's not by might. It's not by power. But by my spirit. What was it he showed me? He told me, son, I want you to be causal. Everything that you built, I want you to have a cause. And this cause must be driven by my instruction. How did he do it? He took me to Job chapter 22 verse 21. As I show you that scripture, I want to say something to you. Last week, they announced that Norway is now one of, if not the richest country in the world. At this point in time, Norway is worth $2 trillion. Norway, a country. Every child that is being born in Norway right now is worth $380,000. I know my ambassador is here. I don't want to get in trouble with my country. But right now, every child that is being born in Kenya is being born minus. I don't know what the stats are in Nigeria. But I want to behave myself because I'm being hosted in your country. But across Africa, most children that are being born on the negative from a position of the economy. Something has to happen here tonight. Listen to me. He preached, not the church, he preached the kingdom. And because he preached the kingdom, there has to be an understanding. Nigeria, I did some research. My friend David helped me with it today. I found out that the economy of Nigeria is worth about $380 billion. Wow. I looked at my country, Kenya. My ambassador, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kenya's economy is about $140 billion. I then looked at South Africa and I looked at the research for South Africa and found out that the economy of South Africa is worth $480 billion. When you put all of them together, these three powerful countries are worth about $1 trillion. They announced the other day that one man, Elon Musk, is worth $1 trillion. One man, Oya. One man is worth $1 trillion, which means all the cabinet meetings happening in Nigeria and Kenya and South Africa, there's a man who wakes up and is an entire economy. It means all the government deals some people are trying to get, they exist in one man somewhere. A man is equivalent to economies of Africa. The devil is a liar. We thank God for showing us the picture. But I believe that picture exists because there's something God wants to do in Africa right now. Oh, I know what you're saying. Just give me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just talk to me about the church. Talk to me about holiness. Listen to me. The church has a diversity of gifts. All of us don't do the same thing. Some of us have to be builders. I'm looking for my tribe tonight. Every builder that is here, shout aloud, amen. Because I feel like preaching for just 5 minutes. I came tonight to release the grace for builders. And to declare there shall be no more delay in the name of Jesus. By the time we come for the next koinonia, we are going to see some things that will be standing in Abuja and standing in Lagos. And we're going to ask, what is that? And they're going to say, this belongs to a member of koinonia. I came to decree this matter and it shall be established. Somebody shout, no more delay. Ah! One man is three economies. All the presidents, when they come together, one man is walking around and he's an economy, walking on his own. He makes a decision. If he sneezes, he can shake the economy of a nation. And when I look at that man, he still has not come close to King Solomon. By today's numbers, King Solomon's value is $2.2 trillion, which means that Elon Musk has not touched King Solomon by over $1 trillion. And King Solomon did not ask God for money. He asked God for wisdom. Which means God is not delaying anything for us for any other reason but because we are asking amiss. And because we are asking that we may spend it on our own pleasures. But tonight in the name of Jesus, I believe that there's about to be a breakthrough in this place. Somebody say, I'm getting ready to receive. When Apostle was in Kenya, I took him to some buildings I'm building. After the meeting we had, a certain man came and saw me. And he said, I need to meet with you urgently. I know who he is, he's important, so I went to see him. I understood the language of the king. I understood how to behave in the presence of a king. I understood who this man is in my country, but he said, I need to see you. What God has shown me is Job chapter 22 verse 21. If I can leave you with a secret, it's this one. That you acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. I'm convinced, Apostle, that there's a trick going on the earth. There's a lie of Satan on the earth. I don't have time to tell you this, but I believe the 8-to-5 work pattern did not come from God. Oh, hey, calibra dos kata. Let me tell you, I found out it is possible for you to work for 1 week and make what people make in 5 years. Oh, you didn't receive that one. Let me try some people on this side. I said it is possible for you to work for 1 week and the wages people make in 5 years, you finish in 1 week. Because the greatest trick of the enemy is to make sure that you don't have the time to acquaint yourself with God. And as long as he can keep you busy, he will make sure that you don't have the place for instruction, don't have the place for direction, you don't have the ear of the king, you don't have the favor of the king, because you're working, worker be all the time, busy. No. In this next season, the Nehemiahs will make God their priority. I came with a message for Nigeria and for Koinonia, for America, for Britain. There's something coming out of Africa and it cannot be stopped. It's coming like a bullet to the world. And that is the message of the kingdom. It's not just going to come from preachers. The members, the people around us are going to become the message. They are going to become the letters. They are going to become the epistles. When they see you, they will see God. And they will tell us, introduce us to your God. So the man said, come and see me. I went to see him. In my country, I'm building. But I'm not just building buildings. I'm building because God told me to build for his children. Because our brothers, and they are my friends, our brothers who come from the bond woman, they have an agenda and they are building very fast. And I was asking God, what are we supposed to do in this next season? Nehemiah's understand what I'm trying to say. You cannot delay building anymore. What season is it? Anytime you see the prominence of Ishmael, I want you to understand that Isaac is around the corner. I pray you can hear me tonight. I said, anytime you see the prominence of Ishmael, Isaac is around the corner. So if you know what, if you want to know what season it is, listen to me. Isaac, listen to me. Ishmael is a one well blessing. With one well, Ishmael has built Saudi Arabia. With one well, Ishmael has built Dubai. With one well, Ishmael is growing. With one well, Ishmael is infiltrating the United Kingdom and is doing very well. And they are my friends and I take time to learn from them. But Isaac is not a one well wonder. Isaac is a 12 well wonder. If they can do that with one well, I wonder what the church is going to do with 12 wells. And with the presence of Jehovah, I want you to go to three people and say, your season for rising has come. Come on, pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. I feel the presence of God penetrates in this place. Something is about to shake this place up. The devil is a liar. Your season has come, Isaac. I came to look for Isaacs. I came to cause Isaacs to arise in Abuja. In the name of Jesus. So what happened? Whoo, Jesus. What happened? This man said, come and see me. He drove me to a piece of land in my country. And he said, we just finished buying this entire property here for about $25 million. And we are doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and ABCD. I said, oh, you should have reminded me to carry my oil so that I can bless your land. He said, I know I called you to bless it, but because you operate as a king priest, I wanted to propose something different. I said, what did you want to propose? He said, I remember you announced 10 years ago that you're going to build a city. I wanted us to partner so that this can be your city. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm starting to understand a dimension in the Nehemiah grace. That is from Isaiah 55 that says, come and buy without money.
Some of you think that you're going to have to struggle for some of the things that God wants to do, but I want you to know that there's somebody somewhere that has already been disturbed for your assignment. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Listen to me. What took people 100 years to do, I declare in the Nehemiah grace, you will finish it in 52 days. I didn't hear your amen. Your amen is in ICU. Are you ready to pray? I don't have much time. I need us to do this. Look at this. I want you to just go back to that Job 22:21. He says, acquaint yourself with God. Another version says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. I'm introducing you to a dimension where you don't go looking for good. That there's a dimension you've entered into that you can acquaint yourself with God. And you sit in patience and sit with understanding. And things begin to come to where you are. Hey. There's a dimension in the evangelical that is, let us go. Go and preach this gospel. Go to the nations. But there's another dimension of the evangelical. It's called come and see. You belong to the come and see generation. Am I talking to somebody tonight? Watch this. Go to the next verse, verse 22. Look at what it says. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. The instruction is coming tonight. It's going to be clear. Next verse. It says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Verse 24. Then, at that point in time, you will lay up your gold in the dust. It is first the Almighty and him becoming my key, my gold, my everything. And then the instruction. And then peace begins to come. Then this thing you've been chasing, which is supposed to follow you, you will lay it like dust on the ground. And the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Verse 25, watch this. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold. There are people with land. While others have had to look for money to buy land, there are people with land that will look for you because of the grace that is upon your life tonight. There are people scouting the earth right now wondering, where do I? The address is in Abuja. I'm announcing it tonight in the atmosphere. If you're looking for someone to bless, they're in Abuja tonight. Put your hand on your head and declare, he's talking about me. Are you ready to pray? This Nehemiah grace, by Monday, I prophesy, will begin to open doors. Lift your hands all over this place. Just begin to pray. Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you that nothing will interfere with my time with God. That I'm now beginning to acquaint myself. Because I don't have much time, I want to ask those of you that are believing for this grace, without wasting any time, you run to the front in the name of Jesus. I'm raising builders tonight. No stampede. Come. Just no stampede. Just come. Can we lead some worship, please? Lebarada koskata. Adonai aleboskata la da da. Of superimposing the kingdom of heaven on the earth. According to Psalm chapter 90 verse 17. God shall establish the work of your hands. You shall be known as an establishment. Before the next koinonia. Something shall stand with your name on it. Every tribe of builders at Abuja tonight and listening online, your children shall eat from this vision. Your grandchildren shall benefit from what you're beginning. You shall be an example of righteousness that is being encountered and seen by many. Every Sanballat and every Tobiah, hear my voice. From today, we are not saying you won't be there, but we are saying you will not kill the vision. Tonight we release finishing grace on every anointed child of God and declare, you are a finisher. I said you are a finisher. What you put your hands to do, you will finish in the name of Jesus. I want you to just lift those hands and give God glory all over this place. He's worthy of worship and worthy of praise. Come on, Abuja. Come on, Abuja.
Celebrate Jesus as you return to your seat. The Nehemiah anointing. Is this the best you can do? Celebrate the King of Kings. There's a shift in your life and your destiny. Glory be to Jesus.